Dear Dhamma friends, this is the time for our day's Dhamma talk. To start the Dhamma talk, you may all concentrate three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ යේහි කේච භික්ඛවේ සමනාවා බ්‍රාහ්මනාවා ඒවං රූපං අභිඤ්ඤාය ඒවං රූප සමුදයං අභිඤ්ඤාය ඒවං රූප නිරෝධං අභිඤ්ඤාය ඒවං රූප නිරෝධගාමිනින් පටිපදං අභිඤ්ඤාය රූපස්ස නිබ්බිදා විරාගාය නිරෝධාය අනුපාදාය විමුක්තාසේසු විමුක්තා යේ සුවිමුත්තා තේ කේවලිනෝ යේ කේවලිනෝ වට්ටං තේසං නත්ති පඤ්ඤාපනායාති තී කිය ධම්මා ෆ්‍රෙන්ඩ්ස් I recited the Pali verse quoted from the particular sutta we designated for as the theme of the series of these Dhamma talks known as Upadaya Parivatta Sutta, you find in the Sanghita Nikaya, specifically in the Khanda Sanghita, and they are the basic theme is the if someone wish to get a thorough understanding, one has to understand the Four Noble Truths, and that Four Noble Truths also one can understand with respect to five aggregates separately. That means that the same truth or the same clarity you can penetrate it in five ways. The first method is through your own body or your own form or materiality. For the last 3 days we try to understand that as the starting point, because that the body is so gross, one can verify with cautious, one can slowly get into this understanding. They are first and foremost thing, may be difficult to comprehend, but the Buddha presented here that very materiality, what we call as our body, is the representation of the suffering. So that itself is quite challenging because we love our body, we keep it clean, and we love each other based upon this body. So therefore, those who are valuing the world in terms of sensuous pleasure, the body is something precious. They are not happy to even to consider the body as something creating suffering. So that is why misunderstanding leading to ultimately suffering. Whenever the sickness is going to happen, old age going to happen, the death going to happen, ultimately all the appointments are going to end up with this disappointment. So before that misery going to happen, if someone to make use this very body to understand its very nature, Buddha come out and say, see this body as nothing but four elements. That is to say, it has its hardness, the heat element, the water element and the air element. So this is a kind of a very radical approach to the very body, very corporeality, very form. So in order to go into this for material, for elements, the most pragmatic part, easy part is, according to the prescription of the Buddha, is the air element. So we take the in-breath and out-breath, or rising and falling the abdomen, or movement of your legs in the walking meditation, or day-to-day activities, the movements. That is the main thing found easier for the beginners. That does not mean indicate that the end of it, this is the access. So whenever we are to see movement of your body in terms of day-to-day activities or in the left leg and the right leg, like in the walking meditation or in sitting meditation as in-breath and out-breath, so whenever we are appreciating the teaching so far, we take that observation or diligence or mindfulness on this materiality is the most important thing. So therefore, we are ready to renunciate all the other thing and focus the attention on this very phenomena. In sitting, we observe the rising and falling, or in breath and out breath. In walking, we observe the left and the right legs without giving much attention to the seeing, hearing and other things. In the day-to-day activities also, whenever we are performing any task, we are looking at the touch sensation of our body with respect to the volitional action we are doing. So when we are observing, this is we are trying to see how these things, this touch sensation, the movements, the air element becoming a suffering, representative of suffering, manifestation of suffering. So at the beginning, no one ready to accept it, ready to understand it, because our conventional understanding is the opposite. We love our body. We consider it is a way of pleasure. That is a pleasure-giving instrument. But here, the Buddha recommend kāya kāyānupassī viharati, look at the body in a completely different perspective to see its true nature as and when it arises. So, in sitting, what we do is we are observing the in-breath and the out-breath as and when it is arising. So, untrained mind definitely find it is difficult because our mind usually not trained to keep it in one object. That means, in the sense, the concentration is not inbuilt in our system. It is always dissipated, running with different object and variety of entertainment. Instead of keeping with one object, we need the mindfulness applying to the in-breath as and when it arises, applying it to the out-breath as and when it arises. So this is what we start. The moment you come to know that you can keep the in-breath and out-breath, for example, in sitting, for a calculated amount of time, or you can forecast that my mind will not go out, it will be with the in-breath and out-breath, maybe for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes like, that is the point we can say the mind and the body, the breath body is face to face it. When that is happening, that kind of predictability going to happen with a lot of trial and error. When that is happening, sometimes it is, we can point it out different 10 number of odds points where it is qualifying the meditation for the moment. That means as far as you can keep the breath or rather your primary object face to face it in a predictable way, forecast that you can forecast, that means the mind is not associating the past and the future. As far as the mind is in the past or in the future, it cannot be aware of the arising and as and when the in-breath is arising, as and when the out-breath is arising. So therefore, it must be free from the time dimension, from the past and the future. It must be here. It must be now, sorry. And then, other one is, you must not have any desire or undesire towards the object, maybe the primary object or the other object. If there are any kind of such a valuation going to happen, you are not ready to see the forthcoming in-breath and out-breath with a fresh mind. So, no selection, no choice. You are just observing without the liking and disliking. So, in order to keep the breath face to face with, you must have already sacrificed your likings and dislikings. And there should not have any sleepiness or over-agitation. The slimy mind is never keep ready when and where the object arises. So it is always with a sloth and torpor, and therefore it is not bright. Instead, if the mind is over-agitated with doubts and thinking and kind of thing, it will never be ready or vigilant or diligent or mindful to see the object. So these three, couplets, you will observe, or otherwise if you know, in a theoretical sense, it is encouraging. To keep the object face to face, you have to do away with these things. And on top of that, you must have the equal or balance approach towards the faith and the wisdom. If the faith is going to overpower, the wisdom will be hindered, and therefore you will be believing so much of things, and you will be believing many magics in the meditation. But instead, if the wisdom is going to overpower, that it will be rationalized too much. And concentration and the energy also has to be balanced. If the concentration is too much, it is leading to sleepiness. If the energy is too much, it is leading to doubt in the mind and over-agitated mind and irritated mind. This must be balanced. And therefore, the mindfulness has a very big operation in maintaining these mental factors or jhanic factors into a balanced form. And even if you manage to do it once, it will not help in the second moment. You have to have not only one time, 1001 times you have to do it again and again, and you yourself has to seek, find the synchronizing, the balancing, or acclimatization into this kind of a balance. So it is coming through trial and error. So, and yet another very fine kind of tuning necessary at the beginning when you are embarking, when you are starting the meditation. At the beginning, you find it is demanding heavy amount of energy to note the object as and when it is arising, to ward off all the sense desire, the hatred and the doubts and the remorse and kind of thing, to get rid of all the obsessional kind of defilements, and to keep the object with huge amount of energy necessary. That means soon after you sit, as if you are a person going to go into the sea with a small boat, whenever you are embarking, cutting across the waves oncoming, you have to have a lot of the ruddering. You have to keep on fighting because when you are starting the journey, waves are very rugged. And when you go into the water, you can little relax. So therefore, whenever you go to a seashore, when in the fisheries villages, you can see, till the boat go into the halfway, into the sea, many people come and help, and the people, those who are going into the sea, soon they go into the water, start vigorous fighting. And once they go into the water, not necessary, exactly like this, the beginning of the meditation, beginning of the sitting, it is demanding huge amount of energy. So that is why it is indicating, if you can have a very nice sitting, a walking meditation beforehand, and your body and the mind is fairly clear, then your mobilization is good. Otherwise, you can't cater, you can't supply this demand. So therefore, at the beginning, you must be ready with this energy. But as and when the object becomes docile, object becomes face to face, slowly, slowly, the amount of energy required is reducing. When that happens, you must understand how much, how to exert energy accordingly. That is very personal issue. No one can tell you how much you must exert up to what level. Just like when you are starting a car in a standstill position, you have to go for the first after the engine is running in the slow run position. When you go into the first gear, you have to release a lot of gas. And then only you can just move the machine until that movement, it is just a heap of iron. And then when they start the movements, this momentum is helpful for the second gear, can go with same amount of fuel. Due to the momentum, you can go double or triple of the space, distance. On the third gear, fourth gear, it's the same amount of fuel, but speed is increasing because of the momentum. The same phenomena happening in each and every successful city. So, therefore, the teacher is going to say, Tadupaga virya vahanata, there's an amount of energy you are releasing, must be very balancing, very synchronizing with the progress. So, that is also necessary, this skillfulness is quite necessary, or trial and error is quite necessary to harmonize, balance the energy. So, all these characters going to come into being only you develop the confidence in your mind. Now, I can keep the breath face to face for this much of period. Oh, that the predictability, foreseeability going to start. And they are more and more you keep, if you are trying to keep the primary object face to face, it you will come to know. More and more you observe the incoming in-breath and out-breath, the more and more to observe, there is observing mind and observed materiality. Beyond that, there is no other mysticism. There is no other creator, no other external forces. Everything happening, you can analyze and see. This much is my mentality, that naughty mind. This much is materiality. So, in order to make it more sharp, the teacher says, whenever you are going to see the in-breath, see its intrinsic characteristics, personal characteristics. So that you can discreetly, discriminately understand how much it is different from the out-breath. Or in the inner... more pragmatic way it says, when the in-breath happens, you must have the clarity, this is not out-breath. When the out-breath going to happen, you must have the clarity, this is not in-breath. That means you are understanding their own intrinsic characteristic, particular characteristic, this is called the natural characteristic. More and more you going to see, you can understand the noting mind and the noted object. There is no other external force, no any mystics, no any other thing that you can't observe. That is how, for the first time, longer that you keep the object with face to face, you will see there is no second creator or another any other kind of a magic behind it. It is physics. The simple physics is going on. And you can scientifically verify, more and more you observe, you will verify only the object, the noted mind, noting mind and the noted object, or the mentality and physicality. Keep on practicing in order to see beyond that, whether there are any, beyond that mentality and physicality or form, anything you will never see. That's the point. At a time you will come to know more and more you to understand this mentality and physicality, the idea about supreme being or creator or any mystics, nothing is there. As far as you can't see it very clearly, you are entertaining doubts. So more and more you go there the first time to see only the materiality and material. The mentality remains, that is called the Nama Rupa Pariccheda Jnana, that discernment about the mentality and physicality. So when that happens, you have to underestimate it, again and again test it to see whether that is true. So this is the way that you understand that mind is now on the insight line. It is not with the concentration, it is not with the serenity. Now mind is really dissecting, really analyzing, as to say this is the in-breath, this is the out-breath. Whatever the scrutinization you are going to do, in-breath has only the materiality, out-breath has only the materiality. More than that, nothing unperceivable. And that whenever the in-breath happens, the mentality, what does it do is, it understands this is not out-breath. When the out-breath happens, the mentality understands this is not in-breath. So if you can further, you can say, you understand this is in-breath, not the out-breath, not a sound, not a thought, not a pain. When the out-breath happens, it knows this is the in-breath, not the otherwise. So when that clarity happens, the latent masters, they put that into the knowledge known as Nama Rupa Pariccheda Jnana. Briefly we discuss in the today Dhamma discussion also, and that is been attributed to the purification of views. That is to say, there is no other views as to this phenomena is something coming out of blues, that is material, complete materialistic, or it is created by God. There's an external force. You can understand this is saturated or well-contented trial and error you can do, test. And more you go there, you see there is an interplay of mentality and materiality, that's all. And that has to be confirmed under the light of the lack of past and future, lack of liking and disliking, lack of sleepiness and the over-agitation. And when that happens, it's an access, it's a entering into the vipassana. This is necessary for someone to proceed further. For that, even that to happen, you must have a certain amount of mindfulness as well as kind of a concentration. This concentration working for this Nama Rupa Pariccheda Jnana, that means delimiting of form and the matter, it's kind of the insight bias concentration. The difference between that samatha concentration or serenity bias concentration and the insight bias concentration is, in the insight, it can focus upon changing objects. Whenever the in-breath happens, it is ready to focus on the in-breath, and when it is gone, it is equally ready for the out-breath. But in the concentration type, the object that you are taking also sometimes conventional, even the in-breath and out-breath, it is not advisable to discriminate the in-breath and out-breath. You are just see as the movement of air. But in the insight, it is highly appreciated and advised to discriminate in-breath out-breath. Then only you can understand mentality and physicality. When that happens, this situation also is demanding heavy amount of energy and concentration. And when that happens, what the responsibility of the yogi, what is the, how can you facilitate mindfulness, or sorry, insight, is to see the beginning of the phenomena. That is, in-breath happens, you must be focused as and when it arises. When the out-breath happens, you must focus as and when it arises. So that is how you are going to say, Of course, in-breath and out-breath is there from where the seat comes. And more you are going to the subtle points, you will understand it's a, just a mere changing of the shapes and the manner, but it's nothing coming out of nothing special happening. So therefore, as if you are going to see how a fruit is going to happen from the very tiny thing, it is slowly developing, or any disease going to happen from the simple symptoms, you are bound to see the beginning of the in-breath and out-breath. That indicates the penetrating capacity of your mindfulness and your engagement, so that your mind and the observed object will be closely associated. They become closer and closer. That means your object become more immediate. There are less and less chances for the thoughts to arise. Less and less chances to distractions to come and disturb you, like outside sounds and the pain. Mind becomes so engaged so that it can see the beginning and beginning together with the in-breath and the beginning together with the out-breath. So when that is going, this is the whole teaching of the cause and effect relationship. This is a very profound deconstruction of any phenomena. You are not allowing as it is happening, you are always observing its arising part. So when that happens, the mindfulness become more and more sharp, and the continuity of the time you can keep with the object also increasing. So when this is going to happen, you see everything has its own intrinsic cause. For example, when you are to look into a TV screen, and without a program, if the dots are happening, so if you are, how much sharpness you are going to look at it, each and every dot has its own arising. Each and every dot has its own manifestation, and even within one square, inch, so much of dots happening, but nothing, no accidents. Each and every dot has its own beginning. Since it is 1001 dots are happening, you are not sharp enough, you are not analytical enough to see individual dot. That is why the Buddha says, when you are sitting, you are cutting off seeing, you are cutting off hearing, smelling, touching, and observing only the body, that with an involuntary action of breathing. And there your sharpness is just to see, at the beginning to see the in-breath and out-breath. Now it is focused to see the beginning of the in-breath. So that is to say, where from anything going to happen. So there you can see it is nothing but it's a transformation. And that transformation to see, you have to be very prepared. You have to focus the attention to the very beginning. Then there when you go more and more to the beginning, you will see the phenomena, there is a part unperceivable, and all of a sudden, according to your sensitivity, it become perceivable, then only it go to your memory. You call it is as a case or touch or experience, but before that there is a unperceivable subtle forms, and that come into perceivable level. That perceivability is directly related to your sharpness of mindfulness. More and more it becomes sharp, you can go into the very subtle deep layers. And when that going, that is how mindfulness become very sharp, and ultimately you are going to see each and every phenomena with together with its origin. So this is called Pachche Parikha Jnana, that is you are seeing together with Pachaya, its own beginning. So this is the whole teaching of cause and effect relationship. So whenever you are observing, if you can't see the discriminative understanding between the in-breath and out-breath, that indicates mindfulness is not sharp now. Even that is possible, then you have a task. You have to facilitate in order to see the beginning of the in-breath, to see the beginning of the out-breath. When you are going there, it is a sharpness of mindfulness is increasing, perceivability become very, very sharp. You come to know from the end of the out-breath to beginning of the in-breath, there is a gap, unperceivable. From the end of the out-breath to the beginning of the in-breath, there's another gap, unperceivable. Unless otherwise you sharp enough to see whatever may be perceivable and make the picture complete, you will not see this black hole. You will not see this gap. So when you are going to see the beginning, slowly, slowly you come to know there are some areas black, there are some areas you can see either heat, water, air element or whatever may be. So when that happens, my meditation, if you have the theory understanding, theory understanding and preparedness, meditation becomes very, very interesting. For example, when you go and sit in a normal theater, a cinema, you see animation. You see people are moving and that is called the movie. But you will understand if you are going to see the mechanism of the projector. The projector is flashing light onto the silver screen and then flashing a darkness and then again flashing a slightly different scenery. And within that darkness, our mind is adjusting ourselves to see the thing as animation. And again, darkness is flashed and again, white light is coming. And that is how the animation happens. In order to have this animation, there should have equal amount of darkness. But even if you are observing a film for 1.5 hours, you will never see darkness. You only see the bright light because our eye has this continuity of the brightness. Exactly the same game is happening in the mind. It know how to hook up with the positive to positive, skipping the in-between nothingness, in-between subtlety, in-between the space. So, unless otherwise, you with the interviews, you if you ask someone, how long you can keep the primary object face-to-face, he or she will tell you, I can keep it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Throughout what you see, I can see the continuity of the in-breath and out-breath. Never by their own initiative, they will report that each in-breath and out-breath, there is a gap in between. Each in-breath, between the out-breath and in-breath, there is a gap between. If you wish to see the not only the tip of the iceberg, but the whole iceberg, you have to see, you have to go to the edge. The Buddha, out of his experimenting, he says, basically push into the beginning edge, the starting point. Because in the world, you can see the starting point is always covered and after certain amount of preparation only, the drama going to start. When the actors making their costumes and making their makeup, you can't see. It is always behind the scenery. It is not allowed to see. When the actors are coming to the stage, they appear like kings and servants and kind of thing, but you don't know they are just human beings. The camouflaging and the adjustment and the costumes are doing hidden. And once that happens, only you can entertain it. Exactly the same thing, whenever something is starting, you are not allowed to see. Once that come up to a shape, only it is happening. So the Buddha, he says, if you wish to see things as they are, don't wait till the presentation happens. Just go 1 minute, one thought moment before the presentation, another thought moment before, another thought moment before. Ultimately, you can see the difference between the perceivability and unperceivability. So this is the barrier or this is the real break happened from the Newtonian physics to the the Einstein physics. Newtonian physics accepted only after the perceivability, but Einstein questioned it. He asked how is the perceivability going to take place? And there, the sharpness of the method also increased, and therefore he went little further, and there he found still there is a gap. Beyond that, our rational mind can't comprehend it, and then it come into the measurable, verifiable matter. How these immaterial become matter, or energy become matter, how again the matter become energy, was the point now we are in physics. And exactly the thing you can observe it with some parallelism by observing the breath, how far you can perceive the very beginning of the in-breath, how far you can perceive the very beginning of the out-breath. Two things are happening. One thing, for the first time you are going to see the gap. Second thing, due to this endurance, the sharpness of mindfulness also increasing. Sharpness of the concentration also increasing. Therefore, your internal, the personality, your quality is also changing. That is for the better. So, whenever you are going to see the phenomena together with the beginning, whether it is in-breath or out-breath, anything, you are bound to see so far you have commented, you have decided, you have given the inferential, only with little bit of understanding, without much of patience, without much of observation, without much of feasibility study. Now the Buddha says, therefore, reduce the amount of decision, instead increase the amount of observation, vigilance, the diligence, the mindfulness. When you go there, completely your decision-making process will be different. So whenever this kind of beginning going to become manifested, it has been recognized as almost like sotapanna. The later teachers or commentators, he says, chulla sotapanna, that if you are waiting to see, or if you are patient enough to see the beginning of anything, your conclusions and your inferential knowledge and your decision making will be completely different. But we are in a rush. We are in a rut. Whenever something see, immediately we are going to decide, then and there we get committed. Because we don't have enough data. So therefore, even at the Pachyaparigga level, or understanding the how does anything begins, going to give a completely different mindset if you are patient enough, if you are mindful enough, if you are diligent enough. So this is called becoming, you are qualified, you can understand the potential. If you are to master this is the point where you can make sure you can achieve the first Maggapala Jnana. But here, it just gives an hint. Instead of rushing towards a decision, you are accumulating more and more basic information. How things come up to this state. So therefore, whenever you are patient enough to go, the teachers, they say, where the such a yogi, laddha saso, laddha patitto, niyata gatiko, sambodhi parayano. That means he is for the first time going to get relaxation. So everything has its own origin. If you have to see only the recent thing, it is developing tension. It is pressing. It is demanding. But if you are waiting and patient enough to see the beginning you can nip it at the bud level, any question. So, any doctor will accept. You can cure any disease if you can at the early stage by hot water and salt water. The doctor becomes important if you are delayed. If the symptoms become aggravated, even by operations or anything, you can't cure. But if you can go to the beginning, any disease you can cure by the hot water and cold water, the salt water. Exactly the way, if we are delayed, if we are negligent, problem become aggravated and pressing and demanding. Instead, if you can see the beginning, you can understand your negligence is the only cause making the problem more complicated. So therefore, more and more you go to the base, you are going to get kind of a relaxation, kind of a release. Laddha saso, laddha patitto. You are going to get the establishment as to the teaching of the Buddha is something verifiable, it is good. Here onward, I will base upon my thinking on the teaching. Or rather, observation rather than rushing to a decision. You are going to get a straightening of your priority selection, likings and disliking. Everything will be changed in order to, so that you will be not rushed to a making decision-making process, but instead see the beginning. Laddha patitto, laddha saso, niyata gatiko. And if you can maintain that state throughout this life, it says you will never go to neither world or in the inferiority in your life to come. Throughout, you must not rush to a decision. Instead, be observant. And then you are getting the membership or kind of a citizenship in this spiritual life, in this religious life. Unless otherwise, you are doing maybe, but you have no your own verification, your own clarification. At this Pachyaparigrahajnana only, you are bound to get your own verifiability of the value of the mindfulness, the value of diligence, and the flaws of negligence and the lack of diligence. So when it is the processing in your life, you will be more attached to meditation, and you will be not only in sitting, not only the walking, even in day-to-day activities also, you will be just observant, you will be a neutral observer rather than rushing to a decision. That the world, outside world, will not be happy with you. They want you to be rushing toward the decision and immediately commit yourself. So therefore, as far as you are living in a social life or in a tense life, you can understand this is what happens in this the social way. They are creating such a kind of a tension, and therefore you are pushing to or rushing toward the decision. More and more decision you are going to get, each and everyone is not going to give a lasting answer. So instead, the Buddha says, look at the cause, back at to the cause. And whenever as the story goes, when the Venerable Sariputta, as the Upatissa, he met the Venerable Asaji, he was so happy with him because he is very slow, very contented, and serene, and therefore he went and attended to him and provided him all the facilities and asked, I am happy with your demeanor and the behavior. Who is your teacher and what is the principle you are following? Then he told, I am a young person to my dispensation, so therefore I can't give you the proper principles or the teaching. You better go and meet my teacher. I am not an expert. Then he says, never mind. I am a person with a quick wit. So why don't you just give me the gist of your teaching and then I may understand. Then he told, Ye dhamma hetu pabhava, te sang hetun tatagato aha. Whatever the phenomena, the Buddha, my teacher, is going to tell its cause. That's enough. That was the thing he heard. And that itself was enough for him to get the first Maggajana. But anyway, the Venerable Asaji kept on, Te sanchayo nirodo, te sanchayo nirodo, evangvadi mahasamano. And then not only discerning the root cause, and then the cessation of the root cause, that is my teacher's teaching. And when he met his friend, Upatissa, the later he became Moggallana, and when he is chanting the whole stanza, That was enough for him to understand. And when the Buddha giving the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he explained this truth of suffering, the cause, the emancipation and the way, pathway. And whenever the Venerable Kondanya, to understand, his utterance was, his way of expressing, his understanding was, whatever may be arising, that has its cessation. So, if you are not to see the arising part, you are not qualified to see the cessation. That means you will be only tackling the middle and you will be carried away by the desire and the hatred or past and the future or the slimy mind or agitated mind. If you are not going to give that kind of ways, that kind of byproduct, byroads, and to keep the phenomena face to face it, and still to see the beginning, that is going to give a quite a radical difference to the phenomena. That is why it says, if you are mastering it, that you become Chulla Sotapanna, that definitely you find your potential, you can achieve something in this very life. Otherwise, if you can maintain this situation, your future is assured only for one lifestyle. And then the Buddha says, if someone can facilitate this, the beginning, the naturally he is bound to see the end of the phenomenon. That ending is the ending of suffering. That means, for example, if you take the example of the in-breath and out-breath, so much so you can see the beginning, then you are bound to see one is come up to the peak and then it is ceases to exist and it's slowly tapering off. Ultimately, from the perceivable point to unperceivable level, it drops. Without that, outbreak cannot happen. And the outbreak also start with a very subtle level and then come up to the maturity, it ceases to exist. It go beyond your perceivable level, then only it can give rise to a in-breath. So, therefore, these two are completely different two phenomena, even though we call it as in-breath and out-breath. So, likewise, each and every phenomena, you can see the beginning, the middle and the end. Therefore, whenever something is explained in terms of vipassana, it says you are bound to see or you have to see the phenomena from beginning to the middle to the end. That's a one way of defining vipassana. Because we are in a such a rush, whenever something happens, we see only the tip of the iceberg. Without knowing the undercurrent underneath, we are making decisions. They are not doing lasting. Because when the iceberg is floating, only one-tenth is you can see. The other part is, according to the Sigmund Freud, it is unconscious. And the beautiful thing is, as far as one-tenth of that area which is coming out of the water and going to show its shape, its identity, make the discrimination about the icebergs. But as far as the underneath unconscious is concerned, we are all the same. Each and everyone shares the universal unconscious. Unconsciousness-wise, we have no difference. But whatever the came surface, and it has many shapes and manner, therefore you have your own likings and disliking, the neighbor has his or her own liking and disliking, personality, then the conflict arises. But if you are to see the underlying thing, the unconscious, exactly the humanity come into being. So, without considering this unconscious area, if we are to take a decision or pass a judgment or inference only with what is exposed by itself in the phenomena, definitely you know only one day. Sometimes even less. If I am to quote a modern example, the physics started with the measuring of the elements different ways, and ultimately at the beginning they told the molecule is the minimum, and then the one scientist came and told, no, there's atoms. Atoms are getting together, and therefore this is the building block, and the God created atom, and from the atom only the world happened, therefore God has its own portion. But later, whenever the electron microscope going to happen, atom got went into the particles. And at the beginning it was electron, neutron and the nucleus. But luckily or unluckily, they break each and everything into subatomic particles. Ultimately, they end up with quantums and energies. And whenever such a detailed description happens, now they are to see how much the matter, how much the non-matter. No, present day scientists explain only 4% matter, rest of is non-matter. That non-matter also consists of dark energy, or dark matter, and together with the matter, with the dark matter can explain 30%, another 70% they have put as dark energy, not a single equipment can trace it. Even your senses can't feel them, unperceivable, but you can't deny. That is what the Buddha says, whatever the form you are seeing, it is void. Because they are only 4% available. That 4% is the one going to give a gross idea as I body, my body, your body, the breath, all the kind of things. If you are to see the suspension part of the iceberg, you will see it is definitely much, much, much bigger than what is explicit, what is overt. So meditation is asking you to go to that, and when you go there, it's a hell of a difference or change in your paradigm. So therefore, you will lose the rational calculations, and ultimately you have to, at the beginning, you have to believe it. It appears like mystics. So therefore, whoever going to see the unseen or prominent, the beginning, and together with the end of it, they are going into a knowledge, exposing into a kind of a knowledge, they get bewildered. And now the present day integral spiritual development, this is, therefore, whoever go into that level, going to give interpretation according to their own belief. So therefore, never you can comprehend and write a book. Even two people go there and experience it, their interpretations are completely different. So it must be therefore integral. So the Buddha says, even if you observe it, if you manage to go into that, that your avijja or your ignorance is playing a hell there to in interpretation. You can't help but interpret. Whenever you are going to see that kind of a thing in the meditation, definitely you become talkative. You feel like talking with others. That is the point where your ignorance is going to manifest. That ignorance itself is double fold. Michyapatipatya avijja and appatipatya avijja. Michyapatipatya avijja is that simple unknowing. You don't know the world is representing only this 4% of the matter. Balanced 96% is unperceivable. But the sociology, politicians, economists, everyone make their whole theories upon this 4%. And whenever the economy is going to collapse, they don't know how it happens. When the political formulas are going to break down, they don't know why it happens. And their social theories are completely self-based, they don't know why it is not happening, working. Because their data based on only 4%. And therefore 94% simple unknowing. And the second thing is, in order to explain this 94%, they project a God or omnipotent, omnipresent kind of a source of energy. So therefore, it is a misperception. So simple unknowing and misperception coming to being, you can understand how much of complication going to happen. Specifically, this complication happen in communication. So therefore, religious dialogues, different belief systems, and all kind of thing, we can't do away with because our upbringing is completely imbibing, injecting them into ourselves, so we are not free from them. So whatever the interpretation of the, whatever the experience you are going to have in this subtle part is going to give lot of proliferation, mental proliferations, interpretations, so they are completely mental game, psychological game. So therefore, at this level, whenever mind is going to see this unperceivable part, you are met up with so much of pitfalls. In Theravada tradition, they have been marked and mapped. And therefore, when you are associating with the teacher or a senior meditator, if you are ready to communicate with whatever you see, they will give cautious, telling that don't associate this part, don't associate this part, just keep on observing the same primary object. Otherwise, mind becomes very talkative, going on interpreting. Definitely, it is backed by your own experience. But due to your ignorance, in double-fold ignorance, that simple unknowing and the misperception, that they are misleading you, pushing you away from the present moment, and you become deranged, you become dislodged. So therefore it says, whenever such a clarity going to happen, you feel the mind become so clear, there is no sense desire. Otherwise it was always battering throughout in your life. But when that happens, you can't experience any kind of a sensuous desire, kamaraga, or no any hatred, no sleepiness, no doubts, and no the remorse or excitement. So therefore you feel kind of a serenity and it is penetrating into that. So sometimes you feel as if you are around or you are full achieved. So if you are going to believe it, definitely what happens is you are losing the present moment. And sometimes you feel whenever the unperceivability going to become your subject matter, the internal-external boundary disappears. And therefore, mind is becoming something like a kite gone beyond its thread. Now it is free-floating. And there also, you for the first time going to see the mind is going beyond the capacity of the egoistic frame, and there are endless, boundless things going to happen. So that also you can interpret in many, many, many ways. And sometimes you are not only associating the heat element, the air element, water element and the earth element. First time you are going to perceive the space, the intermediate space. And as if you are looking at the sky, night sky, you are observing the astronomical objects like stars and the moon and the kind of thing. And all of a sudden, if you are focusing your telescope to the space, and then you get lost. As far as something to see the object as such, or positivity, you have a lot of theories and a lot of things to write. But if you are focusing on the space, there is no in, there is no bottom. So likewise that it sometimes you appear like you are tapping bottomless energy, knowledge. So there is this spaceness also going to happen. And sometimes the mind itself show its brightness, some light sense, light perception and lightness. And sometimes it says it's going to see very nice sceneries, flowing rivers, mountains, blooming flowers, everything is well balanced. You are, it is like you are in a heaven everything is very nice. And sometimes your past memories, something double negative or double positive, going to flash like as if happening in front of you. And some people bound to see what is going to happen in the future also. And some people going to calculate the past that without this much of knowledge, that is what happened and that was my interpretation. But that interpretation is so much biased. But now only I know these things are happening. These are just cause and effect relationship. And what happened and what my interpretation was such a limited one. And you can go further. Some people can go even to the past lives also. And some people go into the future also. But each time you are going to entertain it, you are hindering your progress. You are missing the present moment. So likewise, huge amount of pitfalls are there. They all are benefits or good things. But if you are going to entrap it there and going to specialize them, your progress will be hindered. So therefore, whenever the sammasana jnana, for the first time you are going to see the comprehensive approach to the present moment, it has so much of directions, but each and everything you have to understand, this is because now you are merging from the matter to the space. You are merging from the convention to the absolutes. You are merging the internal and external relationship, and that is as if that you are going to the space and you are going to experience the gravity-less phenomena. You have been brought up and developed completely in the gravitational sensation. But what happens if you are going to go to the space? Exactly like you become the exposed to the new area. So when it happens, it says, let it happen in 1001 times. Each time, develop like a beginner. From the beginning, never assume that yesterday you have this and that. All these things are phenomenal, temporal, happening and transient. So each day when you start with the materiality, slowly, slowly you will understand how to make it subtle and go to the subtlest. When at the subtlest level, you have to be double-fold mindfulness. Not to let the mind to take you for a ride. Not to let the mystics and the other your beliefs going to play hell. Because they are waiting for a chance. So therefore those who are more towards the faith, they are coming and talking so much of stories. Because each and everything they are going to see, they are believing. But those who are biased to the wisdom, they are keep on analyzing them and thinking this is a permanent, appreciable state. They don't know if we are in a transient. So if you wish to go into the real vipassana or real insight knowledges, this is an acid test. For the first time, you are going to see the beginning, the middle and the end of the phenomena. That phenomena also not yet cut into small pieces. They are happening like a gross way, but you come to know each and every phenomena has its own beginning, its middle and its end. And I am referring back to the same example that television screen with the dots. You can see for hours each and every dot has its own beginning, its own middle, its own end. No two dots are fighting each other. Never. Thousands and billions of dots are happening. Not two are hitting each other. All the time, in between there are space. That is why they are not fighting each other. So therefore, the heat and the cold can stand together. No problem. But the conventional mind can't understand. But we call heat element both to the heat and cold. We call earth element both to the gross and subtlety. The smoothness and roughness. Air element we call the moving nature and the holding nature. The water element we call the fluidity and cohesiveness. They appear like a completely different polar apart qualities, but they can live without any problem. But our decisive mind, our half knowledge is the only one we make discrimination and we believe that cannot live. That is why the fundamentalism come into being. Whenever the communists are going to preach, they think the full communism come when the whole world become communist. Till that, they have to kill all the non-communists. And the believers of the God will say the God paradise will come whenever everyone become a believer. So non-believers are with the half souls, so killing is no problem. Because they can't comprehend these opposites. Because they can't comprehend this matter to non-matter change. They can't comprehend the conventional truth as well as the absolute truth. They can't comprehend what I call as myself and what I call non-myself. They think they are completely different two paradigms. But in the successful meditator, each day they are jumping from this to the other and come back again and again jump in there. So therefore ultimately it become natural thing, become a second nature. Then only you understand the value of the human mind. Not a single animal or any other being have these two options. Even the humans can't do it without the proper approach. But when the approach happens, when you are going to thread past this limit, and it's a hell of a question for your rational mind, and your mind frame, and your liking and disliking, your personality. But if you have good faith and good energy and the preparedness and some other senior meditators, that is the way you gateways are open and you can go there and come back, and otherwise your mind is so caged. One example given, very classic example, is when the frog is going to give the eggs, lay eggs in the water, first the tadpole is going to come out. They are almost like fish and they are living as fish, so they are always looking to the mother. So almost when they are growing up, often they can see the mother. But when the tadpoles are become a little big, mother used to go beyond the water limit, and she can go to the dry land for feeding. So the tadpoles feel lonely, missing the mother. She says, we were looking for, where were you? And the tadpole will say, the frog will say, I went to the dry land. And the tadpole says, you are lying. How can we live in the dry land? If it is so, we also must have the ability to go to the dry land. And if you go there, we will die. So therefore, you are lying. So mother will say, wait and see. When you come up to the maturity, you also become the amphibian. So you can live in the dry area as well as in water. But you can't convince. As far as they are tadpoles, they are fighting to say we can live only in water. But they don't know when you are meditating and or in progressing, they become amphibian, and amphibian means they have the two spheres, water as well as air. Exactly the way whenever someone is to go beyond this rational mind, go beyond this in and out and come and say, they always being questioned. You are also human, I am also human. How can you only can experience it, I can't. So for the first time when the Gurdjieff went to the East and came back to the Russia, and he used to give talks, the truth from the other worlds, specifically the French people and the Russian people. So each and everyone is asking, what are you talking? Are you talking something you have experienced or what you have heard? Then Gurdjieff used to say, if I say yes or no, if you can't verify what I am telling, what is the use of my answer? You are so bogged down in what you know, so therefore you can't comprehend what I am going to say. So therefore answering is no use. Exactly the way the teachings of these noble people, they have seen both the sides. So therefore at the beginning we have to have enormous amount of faith. It is also as if you are believing upon the omnipotent, omnipresent God. Otherwise, you can't go. But only the difference is, this very teaching you can verify yourself whenever you go to this Pachya Parigraha Jnana, that means understanding the root cause of anything, for a certain extent you can verify. And then only your faith will be resolute faith, and you can live upon your own faith, your own verifiability, and slowly, slowly that the unfounded faith will be faded off and your verifiability will slowly, slowly increasing. Then onward, your progress is much, much independent it becomes. So therefore, this is also easily can be categorized as Islam or Buddhism or the kind of a belief system. Because without a belief system, you can't comprehend it. But if you are going to stop at that level, you will be ever a believer, never you put into test. When you are putting into test, there are three trainings, as I mentioned earlier, the moral training, the concentration training, and the wisdom training. The moral training, concentration training, never challenge yourself. Never challenge your personality. Never challenge your belief system. Likings and dislikings, rather preserving. But whenever you are going to go to the vipassana, right from the beginning, or understanding the delimitation of the name and the matter, itself is radical. Itself is asking something against the grain. Whenever you are to see the root cause and to see it, then only the rectification, evaporation, and you merging into the vastness going to happen. For unprepared people, it is catastrophic. It's a lost. But for the prepared person, they understand this is the way of liberation. So therefore, even you are progressing, the interpretation will be completely your own one, and therefore, still it is vulnerable. So therefore, you must have to have some theory understanding, some kind of a healthy deductive knowledge, and together with the meditation only, this coincidence is going to happen, but it is not assured. You may practice years without this coincidence. Even then, it is not a mistake, it is not a crime, it is not a wastage. Because that is how one day you come to know, not only your direct understanding, you must have certain amount of deductive knowledge, intellectual knowledge. You must have certain amount of theory knowledge, then only all these things come and this coincidence is going to happen. The first and most important thing is in the commentarial exegesis says the sammasana jnana, that is, you are to see the beginning, the middle, and the end of any phenomena, whether it is materiality or mentality. But more verifiability happens through the materiality, but it is not the most important. Important thing is, through this training, you have to go into the mentality, such as feelings, perceptions, mental formations, and the mind. The consciousness itself, so that you can't go without this basic preliminary understanding. So therefore, each time when you are starting, you have to confirm, start like a beginner, and then only the momentum itself is going to take into the more subtle areas. So in the days to come, we will try to go into the other areas, but I have to refer to this, the materiality as refining again and again, otherwise very difficult to explain the mental part. So therefore, while practicing, listening, it must be catching each other and coining each other, then only it will be leading, otherwise there's so much of information I am pouring upon your head, it will be sending you mad. I hope it is not distracting you. I hope you can find the practical usage of it. And if it is so, I may find it easy for me to explain in time to come with the future Dhamma talks. With that remark, I would like to stop today's talk. Thank you very much for listening. We have taken almost 1.5 hours. But anyway, if you have any questions or any remarks or any kind of statements, we can take time for the sake of a discussion. If there are no any questions or statements, we can.
I have a question about the talks to come. We talked up to Samas in Nyan today. I don't know, I was going to ask about the Gapnyan, maybe about it later.
So they say, up to this much, it says that as far the purifications are concerned, Sila Visuddhi, Ditta Visuddhi, Chitta Visuddhi, Ditta Visuddhi, Kankavitana Visuddhi. So whenever you are to see the middle of the phenomena, that is the Namarupa Paricchaya Jnana, Ditta Visuddhi going to purify, that you are going to see things you can wander into, there is no other external source. You yourself is the cause for suffering, you yourself is the relinquishment from suffering. No second person involved. And when passing that, whenever you are to see the beginning, you are rectifying all the doubts. So, that is a hell of a purification in your progress in the spiritual life. Then only the Magga Magga Jnana Dasana Visuddhi, understanding the path and non-path. Up to that level, whatever you are going to prove that your path is correct, it is just a belief. But then only the Magga Magga Jnana, the path and non-path going to come. And then onward, you are resolute. You are not trying, you are striving. And no wastage. As if you are making a garland, one and one flower, you are putting into the same thread. So therefore, accumulation going to happen. Till that, you are accumulating flowers. But when the wind happens, everything scatters out. So, Magga Magga Jnana Dasana is the, really speaking, the stepping into Vipassana. So, up to now, you are making your basic qualifications or the preparatory. Then only you are having enough equipments, enough raw materials. But that has to be aligned. That is what does it mean by the path and non-path. And that is also risky one. They are also, the present day in the American research, they find very difficult to go beyond. Because this the understanding the path and non-path is so difficult, because this whole culture is came out from the different perspective. Upon that, pure, unchallengeable knowledge come into being. Boundless. And if someone going to see this situation, non-boundary situation with the all perspectives, still the path and non-path is not sorted out. They will still miss the bus, even after seeing this. That is what happened to the Einstein. He managed to see the between the material and the energy. How the energy become matter, matter become energy. Whenever it becomes matter, it's subject to the gravity, shape and the manner come into being. When it becomes energy, no gravity, no gravitational force can explain, no shape, no matter. So then they are in a chaotic situation now. The scientists, you can see the Tao of physics, Friedrich of Capra is telling, we are completely lost now. Because we were thinking outside thing and you can see the shape and the manner, but whenever you go inside, and you are analyzing yourself with your understanding, you are the very person rectifying yourself, dissolving yourself. Then what is the physics? We lost. And the chemistry, biology, that recently there was one Sri Lankan day all. Earlier there was a separate department as physics, chemistry, biology, all the kind of thing. But everything has undergone so much of change that now they can't see the difference. They see the common character of everything, that is, everything is changing. That is becoming more common than departmentalization as physics, chemistry. So therefore, now we are in such a dynamic age. And the discussions are going on. But you can see Magga Magga, the path and non-path is completely fresh. Because they are with the same mind frame. Belief system is the same. So then whatever the observation going to happen, their interpretation, That is the way, but wherever you go, there you are. What you see, that you are. It says that whatever may be the microscope, whatever may be the strength of the electron microscope, whatever the phenomena you are going to see, if the brain is the foolish, to observe if they're foolish, but if the interpretation depends upon the foolishness. He can't see things because he sees through his belief system. So therefore, whatever he is going to see is depend upon his foolishness. He is expressing not what he sees, he is expressing his own foolishness. What you see, that you are. John Kabat-Zinn has written a book on that. What you see, that you are. What you see is not what is existing. Usual phenomena is, we see what is existing. Existing thing is what we see. That is physics. Now it has been completely challenged. This is why the Buddha says the world is a mirage. In the mirage you see water. But there is no water. Whatever you are chasing behind the mirage, you can't bridge the gap. The distance is ever increasing, or distance is the distance. And what happens is, while you are chasing behind, you are losing your sweat. Ultimately, you die due to dryness. You never go to the water. So he says, therefore, see the world as a lump of bubbles, the form. See the feelings as a water bubble. See the perception as a mirage. See the mental formations as a banana trunk. See the mind as a magician. It's all a camouflage. Out of that only we are making all this concrete world. And all our conclusions are subjected to change in front of the people who have seen the things as they are. So therefore, Maggamakka Jnanadasana is quite a radical place. It's, in a sense, it is complete impromptu. Complete coincidence. So if it happens, it happens. If it is not, it is not. How much the meditation you do, how much the teaching you have, if you are not ready to have this radical reflection, the complete reshuffling of the personality, still you may be preserving your ignorance. You may be preserving your own the misperception, thinking that I have to protect myself, whatever you are going to say, I am not going to change. So that is your human right. To protect your foolishness. For that only we are fighting. For the knowledge, nothing to fight, because knowledge is so common, it is humanity. When the humanity happens, knowledge is not necessary. There is no one-upmanship. The present day, it is that the amount of grains we are producing in the world is not enough for the people to eat. But due to this the supply and demand theory, we use 40% for the alcohol and the beer in production. A huge amount we put into the sea in order to keep the price up. So 90% of the people are depending on 10% of the economy. That is because it's a vicious knowledge. That is because we are believing on what is on the superficial iceberg. But if you are going to the unconscious, that is why Buddha says, when you go there, so much of compassion happens. All these formulas and theories and everything is to develop the conceit, develop the desire, develop the egoistic idea. When you are going to share with everyone the humanity, not necessary to have this much of the sophisticated calculations, not necessary to have this much of formulas, humanity will do. That is how the mother and the child going to get the relationship. Even the dog has, the bitch has the relationship with the puppies. It's the biggest knowledge. It is interesting. It is not calculated. It is not taught. But all the others are very dangerous. And now we have come to the brim. We have come to the brim where that knowledge becomes self-destructive. Knowledge becomes self-destructive. Wherever the big knowledge happens, they are the sufferers. Those who are living with the nature, living in the day-to-day life, no much of tension, no much of pressure. They go in a very slow way. They understand it And then they can understand why the other people are burning the candle from the both the ends and complain. So therefore the Dhamma, the real Dhamma is giving a kind of a reflection, giving a kind of a radical reflection for the wise person to see. Others will see the Dhamma is something nonsense, it is sophisticated, I can't, and it is involved and it is subjective, and they will throw away and run behind this physical knowledge or external knowledge. So just like running behind the mirage. So therefore, Magga Magga Jnana is a very, very critical and very difficult to say whether it's a religion, whether it's a spirituality, or whether it's a real rational knowledge. It's a chance. It's a chance that whatever the desire, one person can't give it to the other. Whatever the amount heap one day, you can go and ask, please give me a little bit of this Magga Magga Jnana Dasana. That means you can't buy that in the supermarket. You will never meet on the way. But it is a coincidence. So we must, best we can do is, we live our life in such a way, so such a thing can happen. Let that to happen. So that is the way we can become human, not like, not behind, we should not go to for this rat race, behind the majority doing. We must keep a simple way of life, simple living, high thinking, let the anything new going to happen. Don't be stereotyped. Don't be bogged down with your likings and dislikings. Then no one can rescue you.
So the meditation, Vipassana meditation is no guarantee to get Magga Magga Jnana.
No, it is that more you go to the higher jnana, they become completely unpredictable. They become completely, not the cause and effect relationship is completely breaking. Some people can meditate for 20 years, but still in the Montessori level. Yet another person come here and he will catch the cup and go. So you can't explain it, because it is such a coincidence it happened. Therefore, it is intrinsic. Whatever you earn is yours. So no one can.
But Lord Buddha has said, if you, that if somebody practices that in 7 years, he or she should get the results.
Practicing with this proper jnana, I mean proper Magga Magga Jnana, dittincha anupagamma silava dasanena sampanna. You must have the, your correct view first and foremost, then only the accumulation going to take place. Otherwise everyone is practicing something. Everyone is practicing, everything won't come into the satipatthana. Everyone is striving, everyone is having their own formulas, their way of life. But no one is not accidentally leading to Nibbana. Even if you wish that you have to give a fair amount of for the chance. That's why it becomes intrinsic. That's why it becomes unpredictable. Unpredictability is some kind of intrinsic nature. So that fair amount of faith is necessary. Fair amount of knowledge is necessary. Fair amount of concentration is necessary, fair amount of energy is necessary, they are contradictory forces. I have to come with completely synchronizing balance. When that happens, the power transmission happens. Whenever the links are not balanced, not the, come each other, no transmission. So it is...
certain level of intelligence, too natural intelligence is necessary to be, let's say, awakened, to get through meditation. Also, the person has to have certain level of natural intelligence. Like if that is not there, then would it be impossible to achieve anything?
The answer is that intelligence has to be balanced with the faith. The total intelligence is, it says, the intelligence is like a person with eyes, no legs. The faith is something the blind person have the whole limbs. So then the eyed person, cripple, has to climb upon the blind person and guide him. Then you can go. That is the example given. Intelligence is like eyes, but no, like no limbs. But the faith is like a person is full-fledged, but no eyes. So if they come together and the eyed person can climb up on the other's shoulder, then the trip is there. So therefore, at the beginning, the faith and the this must be balanced. And the energy and the concentration has to be balanced. And the mindfulness is the one standing behind it. It says this fingers, this is the faith, this is the wisdom, this is the energy, this is the concentration. Mindfulness is the top. It has to say you are too much or you are too less. You have to balance. You see, they are in the different cycles. Mindfulness is going to the infinite. They have their own arc. As far as there is an arc, there is a center. The relationship with the center and the arc is due to its curvy nature. So curvy nature is crooked nature. That all the other four have the crooked nature. Mindfulness is the very straight and going there. So all the time you have to, whenever the intelligence happens, you have to see whether the balancing faith is there. Whenever the energy going to be take upper hand, you have to see whether you have enough concentration to balance it. So that is the way of balancing. That is happening that you can take into grant. If you can keep the object face to face, it's a very good sign that these are now fairly come into balance. You can't keep the object for a long time, only feed the people with the wisdom. They will think, what is the use of keeping the breath in and out, and it is, what is it going to give? Instead, why not you go to and take a diploma in another university or something like that? Definitely they will rationalize and say, this is sitting in the same place, it's the same object, how can? There should have a certain amount of faith. So these the contradictory forces has to come and come in face to face with the shaking hand position. Then only they become constructive. Otherwise they are internal conflict is there. We are not poor people. Only the thing is contradiction. Our minds have all the capacities, but they are fighting each other instead of going parallel. It is something like a piece of iron and a magnet. The difference between that is the magnet has a kind of a pattern. So therefore it has a attraction to the northern pole and kind of thing. But the iron is exactly the same. It has no that qualities because the alignment is not there. But if you touch the iron with a magnet, the magnet also become slowly like an iron. No any changes, but it's the alignment and the polarization happens. So therefore, we individually, whatever the sex, whatever the age, whatever the religion, we are exactly the same. Exactly the same, only the thing is, it's a mixture. It won't give. So it has to come aligned with. When its alignment happens, you are bound to see the communication. You are bound to see the power transmission. Otherwise, we will say that sectarianism and the fundamentalism and that. That is because that we don't believe we all have the same potential. The Buddha or any religious masters, they have seen the human as the basic potential. But the thing is, their internal conflict is there. So much so, it is conflicting with outside. The moment you understand, we are all the same. No one upmanship. No one that I must have a higher economy than you, because then it is something wrong. Presently, it is a misdistribution of the wealth. Without that, this capitalism can't run. Is everything going to happen equal? I mean, for example, that we are fighting for the food, we are fighting for the drinks, but for the air, we are not fighting. It's the most crucial thing for the life. It is free. So no economy for the air, no politics for the air, no social science for the air. So it is common. But water also becoming now, and the food already became. And you see, but the most trivial thing is the food when compared to the air. And the commentator it says, without food, you can live 7 months. Without water, you can live 7 days. Without prayer, only 7 minutes. And you're going to die. Such a valuable layer, no packaging, no brand names, no supermarket, no politics. Dhamma also the same. Whenever the knowledge become selfish, you patent a recording and ask him, that is my royalty kind of. The Buddha gave everything free of charge, 2600 years. No one can claim this is my Dhamma. Dhamma is Dhamma. So therefore we are fighting for trivial things. Most precious things are abundant. So therefore if you are believing in them and going to live up to that, you can have a healthy mental and physical world relatively. And then you can see there are always in the world, there are some, the minority of people, they are concerned about this kind of thing. They are not worried about this economic, political and kind of dirty games, relatively. So, how to get connected with them? In order to get connected, you have to develop your own qualities. I would say, be mindful, then you will get hooked up with the network. Present day, whole mindful people are in a network. Whatever the religion, whatever the sex, whatever the whether you are ordained or not, that network is slowly, slowly developing. I think that is the best we can give to our children. It is not sectarianism. You are asking them to be mindful, that's all. And then they will be faring well in physics, chemistry and kind of thing. So the basic, the mental framework, mindset must be to be here and now. Because it is possible only for human, not other animals. Okay, shall we conclude the day's program then? Okay, so this is the third day. So far, everything managed, everything happened in the very smoothly. So we must be thankful for all the people supporting this, seen and unseen. As well as we must be sharing our merits with the, all the dear and near ones and the relatives. And we'll make an opportunity to straightening our objects and reminding our objects with the merits of all the what we collected, accumulated during this day. With that idea, we will be reciting the traditional chant, the stanza, to share the merits with all the people. Ittavata ca kammehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata ca kammehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata ca kammehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. ආකාශත්තා ච බුම්මත්තා දීවානාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුභවදිත්තා චිරං රක්칸තු සාසනං ආකාශත්තා ච බුම්මත්තා දීවානාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුභවදිත්තා චිරං රක්칸තු දේශනං ආකාශත්තා ච බුම්මත්තා දීවානාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුභවදිත්තා චිරං රක්칸තු මං පරං Itango nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Itango nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Itango nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Ipina punya kammene mami bala samagamu. Satang samagamu hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammene mami bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammene mami bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.